what I wanted to share with you tonight, the saddest call for soul winning. Excuse me. Jesus told the story. And it is a, goodness, it is a story. A lot of people have tried to make this a real historical event, but that's not what it is. Not our purpose tonight to prove that to you, but just take my word for it. This is from Luke 16, 19 to 31. Jesus told the story. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared, he ate sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I'm told that dogs have a healing stuff in their tongue. A friend of mine had a sister with a skin problem, and the dog would often come to her and begin licking her hands and just keep licking and keep licking, desiring to heal her hands. And for a while, it would help. So anyway, they came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, this is literally Hades, not the lake of fire, but Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. I think he recognized a sense of mercy that the people with him would like to help, but they can't. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. They would like to leave where you are and come to us. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, they have the Bible. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Some interesting things here. The verses 27, 28, then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. This is a call for soul winning. And perhaps the saddest in all of the scripture. The person who would never be saved, who is always going to be lost, who would spend all of time in Hades, then be released to the great white throne judgment to be condemned to the lake of fire forever. Now, let me just clear this up. This is not the two-compartment Hades that many teach. That here's paradise, and then there's a gulf, and then there's Hades, the place of the damned dead. And that's just mythology. The scripture knows nothing of such a thing. No evidence for the two-sided concept of Hades. In fact, the three to four centuries after Christ, this theory was made up. And so it's one of those popular things that you'll hear and so on. But any actual study on the thing will show you that it can't be true. This is a parable. This is just a story. Now, Bishop Trench, who wrote about parables, said this can't be a parable because parables never mention a person's name, like Lazarus. And a parable also is about present-day things rather than future things. But this is a parable. This is a story that he told to illustrate some truths. So Lazarus goes to heaven, where Abraham takes him to his bosom. Abraham's bosom is not a technical name for a place in Hades. It's heaven. Always has been. The word gulf sounds like a canyon or even a thing of water, but it just means an expanse. He's talking about, I'm down here and you're way up there, and Abraham says there's a great expanse between us. So it not a canyon between the two parts of Hades, but a yawning distance between heaven and Hades. So Abraham says that the expanse is fixed and unmovable. And he says, they which would pass from hence to you cannot. The areas are fixed. All right, let's look then at this call, the rich man's call for soul winning from the pit of Hades. Number one, it was a realistic call. You and I ought to be urging people to rescue others. We ought to be soul winners ourselves. But it was a realistic call because he was convinced of the reality of fiery torment. Very realistic to him. It was very real. Aroused by his sudden experience of the awful realities of the future state, he desires to make it as real to his brethren as it had now become to him. He realized suddenly that all of the stories that he had heard about judgment to come and had dismissed were now painfully true. All that makes Hades a place of torment was proved to him at the moment he lifted up his eyes in torment. He is in flames. Christ was to call Hades a furnace of fire. As Gehenna is a lake of fire, this is a furnace of fire. So it was realistic. Secondly, it was a remembered call because his brothers weren't there, but he remembered them. Intense pain always focuses attention inward, and his first thought was of himself, having just touched water to my tongue. But then, through the pain, comes the memory of his brothers, very likely younger, but brothers. And he regrets that they'll be following him there. So it is a regretful call. The rich man knew his brothers needed to repent. He had done nothing to urge his brothers to repent. He had given himself to material wealth. He let his family stray from God. Now, the rich man knows that he's in Hades because he did not repent of his sins. You see, you get that by what he asks. He knows that his brothers have not repented of their sins. He is concerned that they repent. They need to get saved. So it makes me wonder, in the story, were there others in the rich man's life who did repent? He seems to be focusing just on these brothers. Was there a faithful wife Did he have children left behind? He asked for Lazarus to go to his father's house, but did not mention telling his father. Perhaps his father was dead by this time. Or maybe he was a believing man whose sons had rejected the faith. Perhaps an interesting story there. The rich man acts like one who has had a faithful witness living a believing life before him. He knows what should have been done. He knows what ought to have been done. He knows what was lacking in his life. And sounds to me like he had some believer in his life. He knows what he should have done, what his brothers should do. Then also it's a remorseful call. The rich man didn't want his brothers to come to the place of torment. So the rich man cries to Abraham, "I am tormented in this flame." The Greek word translated tormented means literally to cause intense pain, to be in anguish. I've thought long and hard about why eternal punishment is flame. Hell is the absolute negative of everything that God offers us in blessing. So perhaps at the final end of ecstasy, there is the reverse ecstasy, the actual pain when all blessing is completely gone. There's nothing left but pain, a burning pain. Since he died first, perhaps he was the older brother. He led them in a path of wealth and disobedience. So he could see that his path taking them directly to Hades. So he's frantic to keep his brothers out of this place. How long will it take for somebody to die and be in torment for them to say, "I wish I wasn't here, and I wish my family would never come here"? But it is also a rebellious call. The rich man wanted Lazarus to be the evangelist. So he cries out, "Oh, then for a voice to warn them." After all the times the brothers had visited the rich man's house, they would recognize Lazarus, who sat down by the driveway, I guess, and recognize him as returned from the dead. That'll open our eyes, he says. But I want you to see what Abraham saw, that this is actually an attack on God. "I didn't have such advantage," the rich man says. "But if my brothers had that advantage, that a man returned from the dead would tell them the gospel, then they will believe." When Abraham tells him that his brothers have the scriptures, he argues, essentially, the scriptures are not enough. They are not believable enough. We need a miracle, like someone returning from the dead, to bring them to repentance. Well, the rich man in Hades is unsaved, and he's sealed in his unsaved state. He does not have a regenerated mind. He doesn't understand the things that he's undergoing. But Abraham then reveals that no miracle will be believed if the scriptures are rejected. We have an interesting proof of that. Because Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was raised from the dead, testifying of the power and the belief in Jesus Christ. And if there's any question asked why Christ named this character Lazarus, I kind of vote that might be it, knowing what he would do. Jesus raised him from the dead. The Jews did not believe. In fact, notice this, John 12:10, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." They wanted to kill this man who is giving such a good testimony because he was raised from the dead. So I want you to think of the testimony of Jesus himself. He rose from the dead, but the Jews refused to believe, because the attitude that refused to believe the scriptures was the attitude that would not believe though someone raised from the dead. We have the example in Matthew 28, 11 to 15. Now when they were going, these were the guards at the tomb. Behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto them, unto the chief priests, all the things that were done. They said, we've got quite a story here. Like a bolt of lightning, an angel came, rolled away the stone like it was nothing. We pretended we were dead for quite a while until he left. And the body of Jesus is gone. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, tell this story. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And Matthew tells us this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Band of ferocious fishermen came. Were so quiet they could roll the entire stone away, and the soldiers never woke up. Not quite believable. My opinion, the saddest. Call for evangelism, call for soul winning. And let us then be careful to win our friends, our neighbors, our family, however we can.